I feel like saluting Jesus Christ whenever we sing Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all. He deserves to be saluted. Well, thank you, Kitty, for that worship. And I hope your hearts are open and ready to hear what the Lord has for us this evening. Well, most people who don't believe in God deny the reality of life after death. They say the grave ends all, and they feel no need to plan for eternity. In fact, several years ago, I personally encountered a man in Bellingham, Washington State, who told me boldly that the grave ends all. For him, this life is all we've got. And so he told me, I'm going to live it to the full, because this is all we've got. Well, some time ago, an unbeliever wanted to make this point, so he had these words inscribed on his tombstone. And I want you to listen carefully to his words that was written on his tombstone. All dressed up and no place to go. How ironic. It's true that we put people in their best clothes for the coffin, or we may even purchase new ones. But I tell you folks, the Lord Jesus himself made it undeniably clear that at death, we do have some place to go. We just sang the song, 10,000 Reasons, and it says, the end draws near, and my time has come. Soon my soul will sing your praise unending. Well, that cannot be for you if you are not walking in the love of God, in the light of God, and in the truth of God as a saved and redeemed believer. Jesus is going to settle the matter for us once for all. All dressed up and no place to go. Wrong. Listen carefully. We are destined for heaven or hell, for a joyful eternity, as this song talks about, or judgment in eternity, depending on whether or not we genuinely believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and living for him now in this life. That's the bottom line. Death, listen, is not a dead end, but a fork in the road to our destiny. Death is not a dead end, but rather a fork on the road to your destiny and my destiny. Well, this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you this urgent hour. So please, I want you to listen carefully, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is eager to empower and energize the Word of God to accomplish his purpose of training and transforming believers into the blessed image of Jesus Christ and turning unbelievers to Jesus Christ from their sins. So here then is the message in a nutshell. Listen carefully, my brothers and sisters, your destiny after the grave will be sealed and signed by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To put it in a few words, God's Son is the arbiter of your eternal destiny. Jesus is the one chosen and empowered to settle matters regarding your destiny and my destiny. I tell you, friends, you are going to see this powerful and practical teaching for yourself in one of the most authoritative and assertive declarations of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and the Son of Man. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 25 to 29. And please listen carefully to me as I recite this passage from the New American Standard Bible. The Bible says there in John chapter 5, verse 25, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs or the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his word. Well, the context of this passage clearly shows that the Jews and Jesus were in a heated conflict or battle. The Jews, as the Bible tells us in John chapter 5, were persecuting Jesus, not only because from their point of view, Jesus was breaking the Sabbath, but also they were persecuting Jesus because he was calling himself God's own son, and therefore making himself equal with God. However, I find this very interesting. In this heated battle, the Lord Jesus remained calm, cool, collected, and composed. He did not allow the Jewish rulers' opposition to intimidate him to the point of cowering and caving in to them. Rather, with a calm and confident authority, the Lord Jesus gave one of the clearest and the most concise teachings on life after the grave. Everyone says with me, life after the grave. Life after the grave. Do you know where your life after the grave will be spent?
With my mom.
With the Lord. Or with your mom. Well, we will see about that. I wonder, when you find yourself in a heated conflict or argument, I wonder if you remain calm and composed, or you explode and use words that hurt people. If you remain calm and composed in any conflict in your life, you are actually reflecting Jesus Christ. But if you are not, you are reflecting the spirit of the devil. Well, after speaking of the coming hour, when the dead, that is the spiritually dead, who hear him, receive life from him, and making two bold claims, namely that he has life in himself, you and I don't have life in ourselves. Just know that. But Jesus says he has life in himself. But he also made another claim, and that is, he's the one who had been given authority to execute judgment. After making those two claims and speaking of the coming hour, the Lord Jesus wasted no time at all on settling the matter regarding life after the grave. His teaching, first of all, focuses on the certainty of life after the grave. In verses 28 and 29a, the Lord Jesus is going to speak to us about the certainty of life after the grave. There is no question about that fact. It is certain. It is sure. It is bound to happen that there is life after the grave. Please remember who is teaching about the certainty of life after the grave. It is not Apostle John who wrote the Gospel of John. It is Jesus Christ. It is the Son of God who himself is equal with God. It is the Son who has life in himself, just as the Father has life in himself. It is the one who has authority to execute judgment regarding your eternal destiny and my eternal destiny. He's the one teaching about the certainty of life after the grave. His answer to the unbeliever who had the words all dressed up and no place to go inscribed on his tombstone is, "You are dead wrong." And sadly for this man, the saddest thing for me is that this man had no other chance to make amends. It was too late for him. There was no second chance given to him. Notice the Bible says in verse 28 and 29a, it says, "Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth." No doubt, as the Lord Jesus was making these strong claims as to his equality with God the Father, the Jews who were listening to him were amazed. Jesus realized, of course, the thoughts that were going through their minds. And so he told them that they should not marvel at these things. Actually, the expression, "Do not marvel at these things," at this, is best rendered, "Stop being amazed," or "Stop being astonished," or "Stop being surprised," or "Startled at this." This actually is very interesting. You ask, what is interesting here? Well, think with me for a moment. Here the Lord Jesus tells the Jews to stop being amazed at his acts and claims, but then he went on to reveal to them something even more startling. You tell me, "Don't be amazed," and then the next time you speak, you tell me something more startling, more astounding. He says, "In a time yet future, all those whose bodies are lying in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth." How foolish it will be for anyone who was not God to predict that bodies lying in the graves will one day hear his voice and come forth. I tell you, friends, only the Lord Jesus, who himself is equal with God, could ever make such a statement and support it. Please notice, in speaking about the certainty of life after the grave, the Lord Jesus uses the language of certainty with great conviction and confidence. He says, "An hour is coming." It's coming. "In which all," not just some, not just a few, "all who are in the tombs or in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth." There's no maybe or perhaps. He says it's a fact. It's the way it will be. Jesus is making it clear to you and to me that there will for sure be a physical and future resurrection of all the dead. My question to you is, do you believe that? If you do, how is that shaping your plans for eternity? How is that changing the choices you make day in and day out? If you know that one day you'll be raised from the grave and have to face the Lord Jesus, how is that changing the choices you are making today? You see, Jesus is teaching about something here that is very critical. It's not teaching about something where you talk the talk and not walk the walk. If I know that one day I'll be raised, it doesn't matter how I die. You can die in all kinds of ways, but the day will come when you hear the voice of Jesus and come out of your tomb, your grave, and you face him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Would you be ready for that moment? Well, after his teaching about the certainty of life after the grave, the Lord Jesus now reveals that there will be a clear-cut division of all humanity at Resurrection Day. After all those whose bodies are lying in the graves hear the voice of the Son of God, the question is, where will they be going? What destiny is awaiting them? Well, the Lord Jesus himself confidently answers these questions in the last part of verse 29. That is why he says, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment or condemnation. There is for sure going to be the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked. And here the Bible says little about a program, but it does emphasize the fact that Jesus will be the door to the eternal world. Everything and everyone will go through him. Whichever fork in the road your life will take, you will have to pass through Jesus. You see, the Jews who were hearing Jesus speak knew already about the last judgment. But they will also find out that the Lord Jesus will be the one in charge, in control, in command of it. In our world today, we make all kinds of divisions. There is the division between the rich and poor and the poor. There is the division between the educated and uneducated. There is a division based on the color of your skin, black or white. There is a division based on our class in society. Well, I belong to the upper class. You belong to the lower class. We talk. And then there is the division based on our country of origin. But I tell you, friends, in a future day to come, all these divisions, if your hope is in any of these divisions, if you put all your eggs in the divisions of this world, Jesus will set them all aside. The only division that will count is whether or not you belong to a resurrection to life or a resurrection to judgment. Those are the only divisions that will count. When all is said and done here on earth, the only division that counts is whether or not you are part of a resurrection to life or a resurrection to judgment. And you make that choice. Now, someone says, who are those who will come forth to a resurrection of life? And who are those who will come forth to a resurrection of judgment or condemnation? Well, those who did the good deeds, we are told, will come forth to a resurrection of life. They will be singing as we sang here. Soon my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and there forevermore. Now you ask, is Jesus teaching here that people who have done good will be saved because of their good deeds, and those who have done evil will be condemned because of their wicked lives? Now please listen carefully. A person is not saved by doing good, but he does good because he or she has been saved. I tell you, friends, I absolutely have no chance to do the good that pleases God, that honors God, unless I have been first and foremost saved by God. If I'm not saved by God, there's no good work that He will accept from my hand. So good works are not the root of salvation, but rather the fruit of salvation. They are not the cause, but the effect. The Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." So the good Jesus is speaking of here, first of all, begins with what? Believing in Him. So as to receive a new nature that produces good works. And the expression "those who committed the evil deeds" describes those who have never put their faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result, their lives have been evil, vile, base, and worthless in the sight of God. Those, the Bible tells us, will be raised to stand before God and to be sentenced to eternal doom. Please listen, those who have rebelled against Jesus Christ in this world will one day be resurrected too, but only to face God's judgment against them and to be sentenced to eternity apart from the loving presence of a loving God of the universe. Today there are those who wish to live well on earth, ignore God, and then see death as final rest. We write on people's grave, "May his soul rest in peace." The thinking behind that is, well, this is the final rest. The Lord Jesus does not allow unbelieving people to see death as the end of it all. Remember the words on the tombstone, "All dressed up and no place to go." Jesus says, "You have a place to go, and that place is a judgment to face." Jesus teaches that the resurrection will come, and that what happens to a man or a woman in the afterlife is inextricably bound up with what he has done in this life. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, how important this life is? This life that you have today, do you know how important that is? Yeah. It's awfully important because it determines your destiny. Do you know that all through your life, you are either fitting yourself or unfitting yourself for the life to come? Do you know that all through this present life that you have, you are making yourself fit and unfit for the holy and glorious presence of God? Which way are you choosing? The way which leads to a resurrection to life, or the way which leads to a resurrection to judgment? The choice is yours today. And if you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I urge you to consider the words of Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 24. There we hear this voice, And I want you to listen to it as I bring my message to a close. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of life into out of death into life." If you believe in Jesus Christ today, the Bible says you have passed out of what? Death into life. There will be no judgment hanging over your head. All you need to do today is to say to Jesus, "I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you have paid the price for my sin debt in full. Today I'm giving my heart to you. Save me and prepare me for eternity with you." And Jesus says, "That's exactly what I've come to do." So if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, your eternity is hanging in the balance. But today, you can take a step of faith in Jesus Christ and make sure your eternal destiny is secure with Jesus. The choice is yours. And I invite you right now, if you are one who wants Jesus to secure your eternal destiny, today you can have that. Anybody willing to step up to the plate and receive that gift of eternal life so that you pass out of death into life? Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you recognize you need prayer, either for your circumstances, the loved ones in your life, people that you want to see saved, you can also come out here. We will pray for you. Whatever your concern, Jesus is here to minister to you. We are just vessels of Jesus, ministering the love of God and the grace of God to you. So step up to that plate. Okay, the rest of you, I'll pray for you, and you'll be called out.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for these people. Thank you for allowing them to be here today. Thank you for the love you have for each one of them. And I pray specifically that you bless them today as they go out to eat. Lord, bless their meal. I thank you for all the people who work here. Bless them and help them to grow in you and follow you each day of their lives. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you.